Previously on Thomas and the Bible, Jesus nearly gives some good advice by telling his followers to give meals to people who are too poor to be able to repay them, rather than to people who would be able to pay them back. He gives the terrible reason for doing this, that you'll get rewarded in heaven. He then gives the parable of a prodigal son, where the crackhead son comes back after spending his dad's money. Understandably, his brother, who spent his life working and helping his family, is pissed. The Thomasian account, 1.
Man, only one yawn. Can it be true? Thanks, Harley, for that intro. If you want to support Harley and his efforts, you can always go to patreon.com/previouslyon. I know I always appreciate the intros. They add a lot to the show. So, yeah, thanks for that. That's true. I only yawned once, apparently. I mean, I'm embarrassed that I only would have yawned once. I'd like to think that, you know, I'm much more bored by this book than that. But we all have our faults. You know, sometimes I'm just not quite bored as I should be. And it's a failing of mine. I should be more bored by this terrible piece of garbage. But I am what I am. Okay. I can only do my best. That's all I can offer. all right. Let's see. We're on Luke 18 and we're going to be reading through Luke 20. So, get ready for that. I know it's, I don't know how I can build it any more than that. That's pretty much the best preview I can do, the best, like, selling it, you know, the best, teaser is to just say, yeah, we're reading 18 through 20, Luke 18. There's nothing interesting. You know, Jesus, you know what's happening. You've heard the story. Well, really, how could I sell it? It's like, I can't even think of what it's like. There's no other time when you've been tried to make excited by, you know, someone on something you already know that's not even interesting to begin with. It's like, oh, you're going to hear the song Ring Around the Rosie for the third or fourth time. Get pumped for hearing the song Ring Around the Rosie. That's about the equivalent. Oh, I wonder what's going to happen. Are we all going to go ashes, ashes, we all fall down? Or, you know, I guess that's the American version. There's a British version that makes more sense. It's funny how it pretty much doesn't make any sense. But it'd be just because it's like telephone, you know, it's telephoned into something totally different. But sometimes you'll see a meme of like, oh, the original Ring Around the Rosie was this. And it's like, those aren't even the same words. It's like Rowdy Ronda Rousey, a pocket full of palsy, a tissue. Some will say like achoo, like it's a disease. They're singing about, you know, something that's the plague or something. Achoo, achoo, we all died and had a Merry Christmas. You know, it's weird how much it changes. But anyway, that's what it's like. It's like, get pumped. You're about to hear this amazing plot. Ready? Ring around the Rosie. Pocket full of poses. Oh, I wonder what's going to happen next. All right. Let's see. I guess we should just read it, whatever. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. Well, he just didn't like anybody. I mean, it's like, well, this guy, he didn't like black people. Oh. Well, also, he didn't like every person. He hated every person. That's like, well, then, yeah, it's a little misleading to say he didn't like, I mean, he just didn't like people. Is he racist or not? That's what I want to know. You know, so when you say he didn't fear God and he didn't regard men, it's like maybe he just doesn't care about anything. did you ever think of that? And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. That's one of those ones that Ron Burgundy would be practicing before going on TV in Anchorman 1. Hear what the unjust judge saith. Hear what the arsonist had oddly shaped feet. It would be one of those ones. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up to the temple and pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. That's a good burn. You go up to pray, you see a guy waiting, you're like, the dude's got like a black jacket and a hat or something. You're like, God, thank you for not making me a dude with a black jacket and a hat. That is thank you for not making me lame. Thank you for not making me evil, unjust, and most of all, for not making me a dude in a black jacket with a. It's like you just pick, or you see he's like a plumber. Dear God, thank you for not making me a plumber. Oh my God, that must be terrible. Can't even imagine. So that's a good burn. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me as a sinner. I tell you, okay, let's find out which one is going to be better. It's going to turn out that I'm just guessing. I don't actually know. It could be either, but I think it'll be the publican because they've made less of a deal about him, you know? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So, yeah. And never mind, so that's the meaning of that parable. It's a fantastic one. So never mind what you've done in life. Never mind that you're not a tax collector, for one. You're not unjust, you're a good person, you blah, 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 blah. But the second you say, like, thank you that I am good and this guy sucks, then God's all pissed at you. So God wants people, isn't that weird? Like, I don't really get it. I mean, I understand the spirit of not wanting to be full of yourself. I think that God wouldn't care. I think that's more a human thing. I think that comes from a very deep-seated instinct we have, I believe, just based on nothing, but my experience. There's this weird thing. I've talked about it on Shoeshine, actually, how I think it's funny how, like, you could give to charity and all that, but the minute you start talking about it, like, if you say, I just saved 20 kids' lives. Look at what I did. People are like, this asshole. It doesn't matter what you did. They're more mad that you like bragged about it. And my joke on Comedy Shoeshine was like, maybe we should get rid of that, at least for giving to charity. Maybe we need, as a society, we need to like realize, okay, there are certain things that are such good things, like giving your money to charity, volunteering, just doing good things, that maybe we should be allowed to brag about it. You know, like maybe we should get rid of that instinct. Because what is that instinct? It's a stupid instinct when you think about it. It's like, well, it's okay if someone else brings up the fact that you donated to charity. Then we're like, wow, this guy is a hero. It 100% turns on who told you. Is there anything else like that? If someone else tells you, look, this guy, he gave $20,000 to starving kids just the other day, and he didn't tell anyone. You're like, wow, that is amazing. But if the guy says, hey, I just gave $20,000 to starving kids, you're like, okay, sir, enough. Enough of this. And I mean, it's funny to think about it. It's actually a really interesting thing to think about. But I think that's the because there are certain things that make sense about it, but not really. I mean, not when you really get down to it. And even if it makes sense with our instincts, it's still a bit wrong. Like, we should just worship those people. Anyone who's willing to give their own money to a good cause, they ought to be just like really, really, really well regarded. Doesn't matter what they say about it. Anyway, and so that's where this comes from, I guess. The publican, who's oftentimes in the New Testament, publicans are the example of like sinners, I guess, because they're tax collectors. I don't know why. I mean, that's a question in itself. I mean, someone's got to do it, right? It's not like he invented the taxes. Or maybe back in those days, tax collectors had a little more leeway and they kind of just did whatever. Like, yeah, oh, there's a new tax on dudes with hair that looks like yours. Yeah, big tax. It's to go to build a bridge. So $100. It's a new tax. Maybe it was more like that, where it's like, okay, I could see why they would be the example of a terrible person. But if it's literally just a job, he's like, dude, I don't like taxes any more than you do. I don't like publicanism. I'm tired of being a publican. I don't want to be a publican. I just do it to pay the bills. Can you give me your basic income tax that everyone has to pay? Like, if that's what it is, then I don't know why that would be so bad, but who knows? So anyway, that's the message. All right, so where were we? And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them, but when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Is there anything anyone ever does that Jesus is like, you were right to do that? I mean, maybe that stuff doesn't make the headlines, but can you think of a time when somebody's like, ah, look, don't bother Jesus? And Jesus is like, thanks for, I really didn't want to talk to that guy. Someone tries to talk to Jesus and the disciples like, listen here, man, just back away. Okay. And then later Jesus pulls them aside and is like, I really appreciate what you did there. I saw that guy from the beginning. I was like, oh, don't let that guy talk to me. And sure enough, you stepped in. And I just want to say, I appreciate you doing your job. Now, it's always whatever someone's doing around Jesus is the wrong thing. And again, I'm sure it's just a selection bias of like, that's what makes the Bible. That's what makes it in. But still, it's kind of funny. It's like whenever someone comes and like stabs Jesus and they're like, no, don't, you can't do that. And Jesus is like, no, actually, I wanted them to do that all along. It is important to allow people to stab you when they want to. It's like, it's always something like that. Anyway, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Again, so you can't just go with it. There's always going to be something. He's always nitpicking Jesus. He's kind of annoying. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet thou lackest one thing. Proper fashion sense. No. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. He's like, it's going to be a pain in the ass to sell all this. It was actually Steve Jobs back when he was alive. He was like, man, I can't even, I don't even, where would I begin in selling this? Like, it would take so long. Even if I wanted to get rid of all of it. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Really, the poor have it pretty easy in this sense. I mean, it's true. Like, no one, it's not a very popular thing. Like, oh, boohoo, white person problem. It's like first world problems, rich guy problems or something. But like, if you have a ton of money and then some guy comes and says like, hey, everyone with money, you're screwed. Anyone who doesn't have money, you're getting into heaven like easily. I mean, on one hand you say, oh, good, justice. But on the other end, it's like, well, what if he worked for them? what if he was a totally reasonable citizen? And then he's like, shoot, I have to sell everything I own, go into poverty with my kids. Like, how do I feed my kids? How much do I get to keep for my kids? A little bit? You know, like, am I just supposed to live at the minimal level? Furthermore, who are you giving this away to? Anyone you give it to, they're going to have the same problem. That's what I don't really get. I don't think Jesus was an economist. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it wasn't. Because, like, if everyone gives away their wealth, who has the wealth? What does it equal? You know, does everyone, if everyone's at a baseline to where they're just barely surviving and they can't give any more away, then what happens to all the stuff? You know, because there's extra resources out there. I mean, it's not really money, because once you decide to stop using money, it becomes kind of meaningless. So I don't want to say there's extra money, but I guess there is. There's like extra economic product that just you're not allowed to have. Does everyone just work less then? Are we all supposed to just create the minimum that we need? Like farmers, everybody, like we're only supposed to create the food that will keep us all miserable, just barely alive, and then we can go to heaven. Because really, you laugh and I laugh, but what if you actually did believe this? What if you actually believed this BS, that that was the only way you're getting to heaven? If I actually believed in heaven and hell, boy, I'd be terrified, because it's impossible. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. That's probably why Christians tend to ignore Jesus, because, I mean, or I'll say religious right especially, ignore Jesus. Maybe that's the reason. It's like, well, you're kind of screwed no matter what you do, you know? So we'll just pretend we're Christians and not really be. That's the best solution. Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come life everlasting, and tuck everlasting." Then he took unto him, on DVD and Blu-ray, took unto him the 12, and said unto them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death." And at a certain point, they must have been like, "Wait, why are we going?" Because he started this was with, "Okay, guys, let's all pack up to Jerusalem. Get on the bus. Let's all, you know, grab your sleeping bags. By the way, while we're there, it just so happens that the Gentiles are going to, you know, they're going to take me and they're going to mock me." And they're like, "Oh, mock you? Okay. Oh, and they're going to spit on me. Really? Oh, and they're going to scourge me, by the way," which is like the worst thing ever. "And I'll be killed," and stuff like that, you know, and all that. And at a certain point, they're like, "Why are we getting on this bus? Let's just stay here. First off, where did we get a bus, and why are we getting on it?" "They shall," yeah, that's interesting to understand. "And they understood none of these things." Well, they must not have. They're like, "I don't know what he's saying, but just get on the bus. Seems fun. Yeah, whatever, we'll go." "And they put him," I didn't understand. "And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the way begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And they which went before rebuked him." There we go. Guess what, guys? Hold on. Multiple choice question. The people went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. What happened? So, did Jesus reward the people who rebuked him, A? Or B, did he say, "Don't do that," for some reason, just any reason? A or B? "And Jesus stood and commanded he should be brought to him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' And he said, 'Lord, that I may receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee.' And immediately he received his sight and followed him, and glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." Yeah, sorry. Okay. That was an in-between chapter yawn. I'm allowed to do that. So it's Luke 19 now. But I will say that that wasn't a direct rebuke, I guess. But that time he still overrode him. Anytime you're doing anything in front of Jesus, he's like, "No, don't do it that way." Whatever you're doing. Doesn't matter. You're mowing your lawn. He's like, "Look, dude, don't mow your lawn in that pattern. You need to do this pattern. And then otherwise you're going to hell." Like, everything was that. "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was chief among the publicans." The Bible actually said that, by the way. There's a man named Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus or something. It is written, "which was the chief among the publicans and was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house.' And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold.' And Jesus said unto him, 'This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as also he is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable. That's because that's what he does. You know, once you get a few drinks in Jesus, he's going to start parabolizing. It's just going to happen. Everyone's like, okay, here goes the parable. All right, everyone pretend you're interested. Because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman. Okay, here it comes. Yeah, look, everyone look interested. Oh, certain nobleman. Write that down, Bob. That's a nobleman. Go on. Everybody just pretend to be interested, and he'll finish, and then he'll say, what did that mean? We'll be like, I don't know, just guess. And then he'll be like, no, you're wrong. No matter what it was, we'll be wrong about it. So it's not even worth it. I don't even know why we listen anymore. Certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom in return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him. Oh, this one, we've heard this one. And sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that he then commanded these servants to be called unto them. Or maybe this is different. To whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, thou have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he likewise said unto him, be thou also over 5 cities. Where is he getting these cities, by the way? He just has them? I got all the cities you could eat right here. Another came saying, Lord, behold, here's thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, and thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And he said unto him that stood by, unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give to him that 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. I like that we're getting to that. So there's some complex lesson, and then also just kill these guys I don't like. That's not very complex. It's pretty easy. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass that when he is coming nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount, was called the Mount of Olives, and he sent his 2 disciples. Okay, let's review this parable, because that was confusing. Basically, he gave some people, I thought we heard this, but I'm reading that there's another parable that we already heard that was close to this, but I guess it's a little different. He gave, so there's somebody who's inheriting a kingdom, he's going to become a king, he's leaving, he leaves money, quite a bit of money, with these servants. He says, okay, make sure to invest this while I'm gone, pretty much. And then he comes back and he's like, all right, what did you do? And he's like, oh, I turned my 1 unit of money into 10 units of money. Yay, money units. He's like, oh, good job. And the guy's like, I did 5. And he's like, oh, yeah, cool. That's about half as good. And then one guy's like, well, I just hit it because you're mean. And essentially, he's like, I'm afraid of you and you take stuff that's not yours. And then he's punished. He's like, oh, okay, we'll take his money and give it to someone else. And then someone's like, well, that guy already had money. And he's like, shut up and do what I said, basically. And then he's like, hey, remember my enemies? Kill him right in front of me. And that's pretty much it. That's Jesus meek and mild, as Hitch would say, Hitch would say Jesus meek and mild. He declares that what's going to happen is if you don't, first off, you better be making him money. you better be making some killer rates on Jesus's money that he's leaving you. And then you need to fork it over to him when he gets back. Secondly, if you don't trust Jesus, then you'll be killed. And if you're an enemy, you'll be killed. And he can take away whatever, he can give whatever. You know, he's Bill Cosby. That comparison has gone a little south. But he giveth, he can taketh away. At the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you. In the which you're entering, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. Why is there a colt that's just sitting there that no one's ever used? But it's been tied there for what? Forever? For 100 years? How many years? However old the colt is, I guess. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. I would probably say that for a few other things on the way, too, like, you know, gold. Like, hey, what are you doing with my gold? Nah, the Lord needs it. Hey, where are you going with that prostitute? You know, Lord needs her. I would probably have abused that power a little too much. Maybe that's why it's good I wasn't there. And they said, the Lord hath need of him. Oh, wait, isn't it a colt? Yeah. And they brought him to Jesus and cast their garments upon the colt. And they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And the colt is like, look, I can walk on the ground. I don't need to walk on your clothes. I'm fine. I'm well accustomed to the dirt. It's fine. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even now, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee when thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and encompass thee round about, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with ground, and take thy children within thee, and shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. And he could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. All right, on to chapter 20. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and scribes came upon him with the elders and spoke unto him, saying, tell us by what authority doest thou these things, or who is he that gave thee this authority? I wonder what possible answer they were looking for. Mike, he's my manager. I don't know if you know him, but he gave me the authority. Oh, okay. Just wanted to know, just curious. I don't know what answer are they expecting. And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believe ye him not? And if we say of men, then people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, neither I you, by what authority I do these things. Ooh, owned, everyone. You just got owned. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. Okay. We're really getting maxed out on parables for the night. But, all right. We'll listen, Jesus, to another pointless parable that it's not going to give us anything. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give of him the fruit of the vineyard. Is this where they just kill him? But the husbandman beat him and sent him away empty. And oh my God, this one is so dumb. And again, he sent another servant. They beat him also and treat him shamefully and sent him away. He's like, let's try this again. I'm sending servants to their pending doom, or at least of major bodily harm. But let's just keep trying. And again, he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. Well, guess what? He was wrong. And when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Let us kill him, and that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? Send him his daughter. No, and he shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyards to the others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, what is it then that is written? the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. What? And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him. So basically the parable was, we've heard it 100 times, just like God, I think it's analogous to God. He's sending these prophets and the people are killing him. And then he's like, well, I know, I'll send my son, which is a bonehead move. The people have already proven they're not open to such a thing. And then the son dies, which really is on the father in that parable. I mean, is there anyone, I love how we're hearing a parable where God is one of the characters. And there's not a person I know who would think God was in the right. I mean, really, besides just by, because it's, you know, the Bible, so you believe whatever the Bible says. But if you really just presented that problem, like, okay, so someone keeps sending servants that keep getting beat up. He sends another one, gets beat up. What should he do? Stop or send his son? Well, just stop. 9 out of 8 people would say, just don't send anyone else, or like send the police or something. Like, the answer, should he send his son, would not even be, people would be like, how did you even think of that? That would not be the 20th option that I thought of. That wouldn't be the millionth option. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they may take hold of his words, so that they might deliver unto him the power and the authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar, or no? And this, as it has been in every book, is just them trying to catch him, like saying something bad. But he perceived their craftiness, and said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Shew me a penny, whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said to him, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. Well, doesn't God own everything? And they could not take hold of his words before the people. And they marveled at his answer and held their peace. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, If any man's brother die having a wife, he die without children. Okay, so this is the time where they're going to ask him who gets to marry, or who in heaven, like which wife will there be, or whatever, which husband. And his brother shall take the wife and raise up seed unto his brother. And there were therefore 7 brethren, and first took a wife and died without children. The second took her wife and died childless, and third took her in like manner, and blah, 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 blah. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For 7 she had to her wife, or she had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, The children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses shewed at the bush when he calleth the Lord, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, for he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Then certain of the scribes answering, saying, Master, thou hast well said. And after that, they durst not ask him any questions at all. And he said unto them, How say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, The Lord said, Unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I take thine enemies thy footstool, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore calleth him Lord. How is he then his son? Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, Beware of scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for shew make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. So that's the end of the reading for today. I'd like to thank my patrons. No new patrons. Hey guys, feel free to go to patreon.com/TandtheB. I can't talk tonight. Maybe that's why I don't have any new patrons. I've lost the ability to speak. What good is a patron if you are unable to speak? Patreon.com/TandtheB if you'd like to support the show. It's very much appreciated. The show will go away the minute that no one supports it. It will be gone. So I'd like to thank my top patrons, John Bodley, Marcel, Japan Dan, Katie, Stacey Sweeney, George Green, Sarah McPike, Scott McFarlane, Charles Bangwiener, Tom Chambers, Brian Gareford, Lee Primesberger, John P., Travis Peterson, Eriberto. Thank you so kindly for your support of this fine program you just heard. And I will see you guys next week for the thrilling not conclusion of anything, for the boring continuation of a story you've heard 100 times. That's the Bible.